excited to start Perek Lulav HaGazel. I have an 8:30 Shia, which is Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. And so far we just covered the Mishnah, so we didn't get to the Gemara yet. And then we have this Shia, which is more in-depth and Halacha L'maaseh. So the Mishnah says that Lulav HaGazel VaYovesh Pasuk. And that's where we're going to focus most of our attention on. But in order to appreciate this, we're going to have to go through the Gemara itself. Because although the Mishnah gathers together both Gazel and Yovesh, a stolen luv and a dry luv in one breath, which sounds like it's Yisod Midin Echad, Rashi, at least for one, is not willing to accept that equation. Tosfos, on the other hand, is going to push for this agenda that if it says Yovesh and Gazel in the same breath, there's got to be some common denominator between the two. But it's interesting because as we go along, and this is a fascinating discussion, Tosfos seems to jump ship over here. What do I mean? We have the first category in the Mishnah. That's Lulav HaYovesh, HaGazel HaYovesh, correct? And then the Mishnah adds the word Pasul. When the word Pasul is like a bookend. It sort of closes the unit. And then the Mishnah seems to go on to a second unit, and then even a third unit. The second unit has to do with Avodah Zarah, and the third unit has to do with breaking down the structure of the lulav, the parts of the lulav, which is called Nifritzu, which is called Niktam, which is called Nifridu, you know, various different kinds of, shall I say, different permutations of a broken down lulav, but the lulav is broken down. And Tosfos is going to insist that the word Yavesh, which is in the first unit, has a reasoning which really places it into the third unit. And it's something about the breakdown of the lulav. Even though the lulav is whole, you know, no parts of the lulav were removed. You didn't cut off its head. You didn't separate its leaves. It got yavesh, it got dried out. But nevertheless, Tosfos sees that the category of what we would have called the third unit, and Tosfos adds yavesh into that unit, gives it membership in that club, which is that there's something that undermines the structure of the lulav. There's something about the way this lulav looks and the way, you know, its parts that bothers us. And Tosfos says that Yavesh really fits into that category. In other words, we would have said that the third unit in the Mishnah is limited to cases where the lulav is dismembered, so to speak, or disattached, or parts of the lulav are missing. And Tosfos is willing to say, no, let's take it in a more general, a generic kind of category. Let's put the category ahead. It's not just dismembered lulav or disattached lulav, but any lulav that is not in its normal, natural state. If its physical state has changed. Now, in the case of Gazel, what would you say, Rabbi? Has anything changed in the physical state? No. The Gazlan didn't chop up the lulav. It's not an old dry lulav, as far as we know. He may have stolen it yesterday, or maybe this morning. Came to shul, he needed a lulav, so he stole a lulav. I don't know. So therefore, we understand clearly that Gazel doesn't belong to the third category, which has within it Niktam Rosho, the head was cut off, or Nifritzu Olav, you know, you actually dismembered the parts of the lulav. And then in the middle category, we have something totally different, which has to do with the shear of the lulav, that the lulav has to be 3 tefachim or maybe even 4 tefachim. And if you have something that's been dedicated for Avodah Zarah, what do we do with Avodah Zarah? We burn it. And since Avodah Zarah is given to Sreifa, to burning, we consider it as if it's gone. You know, it has no substance to it in terms of the shear. So that's called Kitusei Mechtesh Yira. I'm not even gonna write that on the board for you now, because that's way, way down the line. But suffice it to say that the status of the lulav in the case of Asherah or Iranidachas has not changed in its physical state. Correct? If you took a photograph, nothing changed here just because somebody decided to worship this tree. It's a halachic legal state. And that halachic legal state has repercussions as far as either ownership over the lulav, or perhaps in terms of the size of the lulav, the minimum shear of the lulav. So clearly we understand that Gazel and Avodah Zarah, Gazel as one member of the first category, and the second category as a unit, which is the Avodah Zarah category, none of those belong to the third category. But then we get to Yavesh. And Tosis, you know, is throwing us a little bit of a loop. He's putting up, because if not for Tosis, I would try to figure out, you know, how Yavesh belongs to the first category and certainly not to the third category. But we'll soon see that Tosis actually would subsume Yavesh, which is formulated in the Mishnah in the first category, under the third category. It really belongs to Nikhtav Rosho and Nifritzu Olav, because again, there's something physical that changed in a very negative way in the natural structure of the lulav. And within Tosis's broader definition, it's a little bit odd that the Tana, the Mishnah, would place Yavesh together with Gazel in the first unit, rather than Yavesh together with Nifritzu and Nifridu Olav, which belongs to the third unit. In any event, as we go through Rashi, and there are no less than three Rashis that we have to really look at, we'll see that Rashi will take Yavesh and completely divested of what we call a psul hadar. Hadar means that there's something physically, you know, some sort of mum, you know, it's like a blemish in the lulav. And Rashi's going to send us to a different pathway altogether. But Tosis, as I said, is going to insist that Yavesh belongs to this category of a mum, of a some sort of a blemish in the physical structure and the natural structure of the lulav. So again, what I'm leaving here at this point, and we'll come back to these two questions. Question number one, according to Tosis, it's a little bit odd, and it seems that the Mishnah has misplaced Yavesh. It doesn't belong here in the first category, together with Gazel. It really should be placed together with Nikhtam Rosho in the third category, because it's all a psul of Hadar. And the second question is, well, if Rashi is so insistent that Yavesh is not a psul of Hadar, and therefore Rashi will insist that the psul of Yavesh does not belong to the third category, that's the good news. But the bad news is, so what is the psul of Yavesh? And we're going to see a whole bunch of Rashis where he consistently will point in a different direction, completely out of the parish of Lulav. Okay. Now, let me mention, by way of introduction, again, if this is sort of superfluous for you, then I beg your forgiveness, but it has to be said, just to set up the perek. The mitzvah of Dalet Minim really divides up into three different mitzvahs, or three different categories. Again, there are four minim in all three cases, so we're not going to drop any of the four minim. But the requirement of four minim, number one, comes under the mitzvah of Ulekachtem Lachem. And that mitzvah, okay, so if we were charting this out, and we have our three major categories, we're up to the first category, then our subset would be the following two categories, you know, on the left or wherever you make your chart. Number one, Deoraisa or Derabbanan. And number two, first day of Yontif or all 7 days of Yontif. So let's go through the three categories one by one. Category number one is Ulekachtem Lachem. Okay, now you have to answer two questions. Doraisa or Drabanan? And will this requirement apply only on the first day or on all 7 days? So let's go through them one by one. So if we're talking about Ulekachtem Lachem,
Pasuk,
it's got to be Doraita. Okay, so we have a bona fide mitzvah Doraita, which is counted in the Taryag. What's exciting about this is that we don't have that many mitzvahs that apply to what we call a ma'aseh mitzvah, you know, to set up an action as a mitzvah, and a doraita, even in our time. For example, if I was learning kachim, I could give you a long, long list of mitzvahs that are doraita, but they don't apply in our time, because we simply don't have the base on mitzvahs. When we get to post-Beis HaMikdash, we sort of squeeze ourselves into the following niches. You know, you have matzah, you've got sukkah, you've got the dalet minim, we'll call it lulav, and you have the shofar. That's like it. You know, we don't have any more, I can't think of any more mitzvahs off here. You know, all the other mitzvahs are either mitzvah tlius baretz, and they depend upon the agricultural color, you know, of Eretz Yisrael, which may need Kol Yoshvel Leha, we don't have conditions for the mitzvah of Truma Samaisus, Mizman Hase on a Doraisa level, so it's all Dorabonon.
Some of them need the Beit HaMikdash.
I'm not sure if you need a Beit HaMikdash, because again, it's not a, you know, Truma Samaisus is not what you call Kodshe HaGuf, Kedushas HaGuf. It's called Kodshe HaGvul, which means it goes outside of the parameters of the Beit HaMikdash. But nevertheless, there are definite conditions that have to be met.
He's thinking about like Bikurim.
Bikurim is on the Beit HaMikdash. Mamish on the Mizbech. So we don't have that today. But when you talk about the rest of Mitzvot HaTluyos Ba'aretz, you know, you may find that in our time that there are banon simply because we're missing various conditions that have nothing to do with the Beit HaMikdash per se. And with shifting population, and with people like you and I coming on Aliyah, then we may end up with Truma Maisa Doraisa. But right now we're still in the Durabonan state. So we don't have that many Mitzvah Doraisa that are left after the Churban Abayis. And Lulav is one of them. So we're excited about the Lulav. Even though we're only in Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the Lulav has to wait until we get to the middle of Cheshvan. But as we learn Lulav HaGazel, in the middle of, what did I say?
Tishrei.
Oh, at the middle of Tishrei, I meant to say. And we're only at the beginning of Elul, so we got like a full 6 weeks until we take the Lulav. But we're learning Lulav HaGazel, we're already getting excited about the mitzvah of Lekach Demlechem. We're getting gazed up about it. We're getting in the mood. Now we go to the second level. And that is Usmachtem Lachem Shivas Yomim Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. Okay. Now, is that mitzvah Doraisa? Well, in theory it's Doraisa, but Lamais it's not Doraisa. When would that mitzvah be Doraisa? In the Beis HaMikdash, would it apply all 7 days?
Yes,
it would apply all 7 days. So basically we now have to add another variable into our little tabla, our little tablet. And that is inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Beis HaMikdash. So whereas the Lekachtem Lachem requires, it generates a mitzvah to Oraisa for 7 days to take the Dalad Minah, but that's only where? No, I'm sorry, Lekachtem Lachem, that's where, leave that word only where, is all over, even Begvulun. But then we get to Smachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. That's only Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. That's only in the Beis HaMikdash. But again, it applies on a Doraisa level if you have the Beis HaMikdash, and it applies to Dalad Minim, and it applies all 7 days. Because the Torah says explicitly, Smachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivasya. Now we get to the third level. And that's taking the Dalad Minim past the first day, for the balance of, let's say here in Eretz Yisrael, 6 days, or could start 7 days, because you have Yom Tov Sheni. So what's going to be with that mitzvah? Is that Doraisa? No, because the Torah only commands me to take the lulav right outside the Beis HaMikdash on one day. L'kachem l'chem b'yom harishon. So now I'm in the balance of the Yom Tov, so that could only be Durabana. Does anybody know who instituted that historically? Excellent, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw the Churban HaBayis, and he decided that since at the time of the Beis HaMikdash they took the lulav all 7 days in the Mikdash, now we have to make a Zecher LeMikdash. We have to remind ourselves of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he established the mitzvah of taking the lulav all 7 days. And now we have to go through our chart. Number one, is it all 7 days? Yes. Is it Doraisa or Derabanan? Only Derabanan. Is it in the Mikdash or outside the Mikdash? Even outside the Mikdash. So it's fascinating, because on the first day of Yom Tov, when I take the Dalad Minim, I am fulfilling a mitzvah Doraisa, and we got very excited about that. But for the balance of the Yom Tov, we're only fulfilling a mitzvah Derabanan of Zeich LeMikdash that was established by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay. Now there's another historical element here that has to play a role, but I'm not going to really be able to address that now. And that's called Hillel HaSheni. Hillel HaSheni would institute what's called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Now, again, before Hillel HaSheni there was Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, but that was a different type of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. In Chutz Loretz, before Hillel, they didn't get the word from the shluchim, you know, from the messengers coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, when exactly Rosh Chodesh would come out. Would it be this day or the other day? Because every month is either a chas or a mole, 29 days or 30 days. And they didn't get the word on time. So they had what's called Sveika Diyom. They didn't know if today was Yom Tov or tomorrow is Yom Tov. And that generated what's called a Sofek Da'oraisa. And on a Torah level, I didn't know if I'm obligated in the mitzvah of Lulav today or not, because I don't know if it's the 14th or the 15th, right? Depending on whether the previous month was Moli or Chaser. And the absence of that knowledge, I have to take the Dalad Minim because of Suffolk. I don't know what to do. I can't play games over here. Today might be the 15th of Tishrei, and therefore I have to take the other. But then Hillel HaShani introduced what's called Kiddush Alpi Cheshbon, which means the calendar. Once we had the calendar, we knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh would fall out, when the first day of the month would fall out, and we knew exactly when Yom Tov is. But there's something called Minhag Avoseinu Biyodein. So we're going to continue that minhag, that tradition of taking the lulav on the first day, on the second day. In the case of matzah, we're going to eat the matzah on the first night, on the second night. And all this is based on what we call minhag. So it's really fascinating that the law of Yom Tov Sheni, as far as lulav is concerned, we would upgrade it to the status of a derabbanan, because all of halacha in terms of obligations fit into three categories. The highest category is called what? Doraisa. So the next category is called derabbanan, and the third category is called what? Minhag. And the question is, what do we do on Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Laaretz when we take the lulav? Are we taking the lulav as an extension of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, meaning of the takana of Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim? It's Zecher LeMikdash, meaning from that perspective, the second day of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz is the same as all the days of Yom Tov, what we call Chol HaMoed. Or shall we say no, that the second day of Yom Tov has a status of a minhag, and that minhag takes us back not to the mitzvah in Migdash of Usmachtem, but rather to the mitzvah of Ulekachtem Lochem, because I don't know whether this day is Yom Tov, even though I really do know. But once the minhag established that we will imitate what our forefathers did when they didn't know whether it was Yom Tov or not, so I have to treat the situation as if it were a suffix, and therefore I'm going to have to be very careful. You see, the question is going to be, what's the status of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios as far as lulav is concerned? That's, as I said to you at the outset, that's a sugya to itself. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about it now.
You just said it was a minhag.
Right, but the minhag, oddly enough, the minhag might take on the strictures of the Doraisa. Why? Because the minhag extends that suffix. Do you follow what I'm saying? So minhag means I have to imitate what went on at the time of my forefathers. So I can't change that minhag. So oddly enough, even though, here's the paradox of Yom Tov Sheni, on the one hand, Yom Tov Sheni is only called a minhag. But on the other hand, the minhag is to duplicate what went on when we had a real bona fide Sveik in the Yom. And there's no point to introduce Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai over here, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is only necessary for the third day in Chutz Laaretz, and the fourth day and on. But on the second day, I don't even need Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Already at the time of Hillel HaShani, we were noeg lulav on the second day. Not because of Zecher LeMikdash. Okay. Now, let's learn the Gemara about lulav hayovish. Okay, that's going to be our first topic for this discussion. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows: Kaposik v'tani. The Mishnah doesn't make any differentiations. There's no limitations, and this is what we call stoma. Stoma means if the Mishnah doesn't qualify, it means it's unqualified. Meaning, when I read the Mishnah, do I have any right to assume that the Mishnah is talking about the first day of Yom Tov? Because as we said, as a result of Yochanan and Zakkai, we take the lulav all 7 days. And now the question arises, well, what lulav could qualify for the balance of Yotiv? Is there any differentiation, is there any difference between the qualifications and the demands of a kosher lulav on the first day as opposed to the balance of Yotiv? You know, you might argue, well, the first day is Doraisa, so the Torah says l'kachem l'chem. The balance of Yotiv is only Durabana as an institution of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai because of the Migdash where they took the Shivas Yom. So you might say, well, Nechos Dargo, we went down a level. We're now no longer on a Doraisa level. We're on a Durabana level. And maybe something which would disqualify the Lulav on the first day would not necessarily disqualify it on the second day. But the Gemara says the burden on proof is on you. Meaning, if you want to claim that the Mishnah is limited to the first day, you have to prove it to me. The Mishnah should have said, Lulav ha-gozel v'yovesh posel b'yom tov rishon. Aval b'shar yomim, Lulav ha-yovesh v'gozel kosher. Kaposik v'tani. The Mishnah doesn't make any hair's breadth of a difference. No limitation. Well, the rule is kaposik v'tani. Kaposik v'tani means unqualified, means unqualified. And therefore, the psul should apply whether it's on the first day or the balance of Yontif. Okay then? So if I were to ask you, based on these three words, kaposik v'tani, what is the status of a lulav? What are the requirements of a lulav on the Durabanan level, meaning on the balance of Yontif? We're already past the first day. What would you answer based on kaposik v'tani?
No difference.
If it's, you know, if it's possible on the first day,
possible on the whole week.
Don't come to me and say to me, you know what? Wait a minute, Rabbi. Come on, it's only Durabana. Let's lower, you know, put down your dukes a little bit. You know, no, kaposik v'tani. Kaposik v'tani. The Mishnah doesn't make any differentiation. Is therefore lo sha lo shna. It makes no difference whether it's biyom rishon. The Loshna B'yantif Sheni. Okay, it's interesting that the Gemara uses the language Yantif Sheni. Classically, this is the exception to the rule, but the words Yantif Sheni mean Golios in Chutzlot. Yantif Sheni shall Golios. Here, Yantif Sheni means the entire balance of the Yantif, from Sheni and on. So it means any Lulav that's listed in our Mishnah as a Lulav Apostle is Loshna B'yantif Rishon, Loshna B'yantif Sheni. That lulav is going to be possible for the entire yod. Says the Gemara following, Bishleima Yavesh. I understand why a lulav hayavesh is possible called Shiva. Now keep in mind, as I mentioned to you at the outset, that according to Shita Saktosvis, lulav hayavesh should really be classified where? In which of the three units of the Mishnah?
Third.
In the third unit. Which means that the Torah requires Hadar, right? It says pre-eights Hadar, right? Hey, Dalet Reish. And a Yavesh is not Hadar. That's the way Tosus understands it. Well, it makes sense to assume that if it's lacking in Hadar, then it should be possible for the entire balance of Yontif. That's how Tosus is going to learn this Sukkah. We're going to try to prove that Rashi didn't accept that. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss Gozel. And the Gemara says, I understand why Gozel should be possible on the first day, but I don't understand why Gozel should be possible for the balance of Yontif. Let's read the Gemara inside. Gemara says, Bishlei b'yavesh hadar b'inan v'leka, ela Gozel astolilulav bishlei b'yontif rishon. I can justify the disqualification of a stolen lulav on the first day of Yontif. Dichsiv lachem, right? What was the second word in the pasuk? Lekachtem lachem. Lachem always, anywhere in the Torah, means mishel lachem. That requires ownership. So, in certain mitzvahs where the Torah says mishel lachem, you have to own the mitzvah. I can't give truma from your tvu. I have to give it from my tvu. I can't eat matzah if it's your matzah. It has to become my matzah. So, for example, if you invite someone to your seder, make sure that he owns the matzah. I mean, there's a famous Kiddush of the Shach that the fact that he eats the matzah, that itself makes it into his matzah. Well, that's not for us now. But if the Torah drops the requirement of lachem, then you don't require ownership. So, for example, in shofar, nowhere does the Torah say utkatem b'shofar sechem or b'shofar shalachem, and therefore the shofar doesn't have to belong to me. I can be yotze with the shofar even if it belongs to you. And for example, if you talk about the mitzvah of, let's say, of chal, so there it says reishis ariso sechem. That's an interesting structure. It doesn't say lochem, but it says shalochem, ariso sechem. So I might have to own the dough in order to be chayev for the mitzvah of chal. Anyway, so this is a universal issue in all mitzvahs. Do we require ownership in order to fulfill the mitzvah? And by the way, the poskim on Makil, on something that you and I would have thought we should be machmir on, let's say I don't own the lulav. Can you give me the lulav right now? I am going to take this lulav as soon as you give it to me, and I acquire ownership of it. Can I do that? I would have said no. Why? Because kinyan on yontif is also, we don't make kinyanim on yontif, we don't acquire things. But for the sake of the mitzvah of lulav, they looked aside and they allowed you to acquire ownership. Now, if I give it to a katan, because you know, let's say I'm his father, and I want to educate him in the mitzvah of lulav, I have a very interesting problem, really, because the poskim say I can be machne him the lulav. That's called dasacheres machne. So he acquires the lulav, but there's no way to know how he can give it back to me. So you better make sure that first and foremost you took the lulav, and it was a lekatem lachem, and then afterwards you want to give it away to your son, you won't be able to get it back from him, but that's okay. Says the Gemara, an amazing chiddush, that requirement of lachem only applies on the first day. Why? Because the Torah says lekatem lachem bayom harishon. In usmachtem, which is the mitzvah to take the lulav of all 7 days, the word lachem is absent. It doesn't say usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem b'lulav shalachem, and therefore I can take your lulav, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days, fulfill a mitzvah usmachtem in the Beis HaMikdash day after day, even though it's not my lulav. There's no need to own the lulav. Now the Rabbanon, after the destruction of the Mikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along and he establishes a mitzvah d'Rabbanon. That mitzvah d'Rabbanon is an extension, or if you call it a replacement, for the mitzvah of usmachtem, not for the mitzvah of ulakachtem. And in usmachtem it doesn't say lachem. So the Gemara says, therefore, bishlei miyontif rishon, in the case of a stolen lulav, because I don't own it, I understand why it's possible on the first day, because the tziv lachem, mishalachem al miyontif sheni, on the second day of yontif, amai lo? You know, the second day of yontif is not an extension of ulekachtem, because ulekachtem is only on the first day. The second day of yontif is an extension of usmachtem, and in usmachtem there's no requirement of lachem. So therefore, by definition, the derabbanan, which is a replacement to remember the mikdash, extends usmachtem outside the boundaries of the Beis HaMikdash, and there's no requirement of lachem. So why didn't the Mishnah qualify that a lulav ha-gozel is possible on the first day, but not on the second day? So our rule of kaposik v'tani, says the Gemara, that the absence of any limitation clause indicates that there is no qualification, there is no limitation. That works very beautifully with regard to Yavesh. Because Yavesh, the Gemara says, the psul hadar, and that psul of hadar applies both to the first day of Yontif and as a replacement for usmachtem for the 7 days of Yontif, because the Torah commands me in Beis HaMikdash to take the same lulav that I took bigvulin outside of the Mikdash in Mikdash for 7 days. And if this lulav is not qualified, then I can't use it for 7 days. But if you're talking about the psul of the absence of lachem, because the Torah says ulekachtem lachem and a gozel is not lachem, that psul should only apply on the first day. And then we're stuck with this kapasuk utani, why the Mishnah did not qualify. Now, before we go on, I would like to mention to you a sugya later on that Tosus quotes here on the bottom, Be'inon Hadar Veleka, and that's the sugya called Chaser. Chaser, again, in a very superficial way, I mean, I'm not really defining it properly because we're not up to the sugya of Chaser. Chaser means a piece of the luav, or the esrog, is missing. And apparently the experts in esrogim, who have years and years of experience, I mean, especially if you go to Mea Sha'arim, we should really put it on a field trip to Mea Sha'arim, to meet the Morei Horah at Mea Sha'arim. Now, I knew a Morei Horah when I was younger. His name is Rav Shalom Eisen. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's gone a long time. He was an amazing expert in the Dalet Minim. The guys from the Mir Yeshiva used to wait online for hours to ask Rav Shalom Eisen to check their Dalet Minim, because he would see things that you and I never saw. And he would see something called a chaser very often, that there's a piece of the esrog that was peeled off from its natural state. You and I would never notice it. Now the Gemara establishes that, believe it or not, we derive the psul, the disqualification of chaser, from two letters in a long word. We're going to chop up the word into two parts. That's called ulakachtem. And the last two letters in that word are tough mem, which means tam. Tam means perfect. Shalem. Ulekach tem. Lekicha tam. It's got to be a lekicha of something that's perfect. And if something is missing, a piece from the original natural esrog, as it's on the tree, is missing, then it's not ulekach tem. And the Gemara establishes that psul only applies on the first day of Yom. So that same esrog, which Rav Shalom Eisen told you not to take because it's chaser, what he meant to say was, and if you asked him, he would tell you, don't take it on the first day, but take it for the balance of Yom. And Tosus has a problem with this because he thinks that the same halacha that applies kaposik v'tani in the case of Yovesh, for example, or niktam rosho nifridu, all of all those cases apostle all 7 days because they lack in the structure, that same halacha should apply to a chaser as well. And Tosus comes up with a theory that we have to analyze, not for now, that there's a difference between hadar, which is like explicit in the Torah says you have to have a pre-eitz hadar. And if it's Yovesh, it's not Hadar. If it's Niktam Rosho, if it's Nifidual, if all these cases are lacking in Hadar. As opposed to Ulekicha Tama, Ulekachtem, of Chaser, which is not subsumed under the disqualification of the Hadar. And that only applies on the first day when it says Ulekachtem, Lachem, Beyom Arishon. So when we get to Hadar, that Hadar requirement applies all 7 days. On a Doraisa level, that would apply in Migdash for 7 days, not in Gvulin, because in Gvulin is only a mitzvah on the first day. And the logic of the Gemara based on Kaposk Vitani is all those Psuei Hadar should apply on a Derabbanan level, Bizman Hazeh, after the Churban, for all 7 days, and that's called Kaposk Vitani. And the reason for that is because Hadar is so fundamental and so critical that it defines the nature of the Dalet Minim for the mitzvah of Usmachtem as well. However, Ulekachtem Lachem, which excludes what case, Rabbo, say, help me out here? Gozul, everybody, Gozul. That only applies on the first day because the Torah doesn't require Lachem for the balance of Yontif, not even in the Migdash on a Doraisa level. And now Tosus adds the case of Chaser, which is a sugya later on in Lamed Vav, that the Gemara is going to derive chaser, if it's missing a piece, from ulekachtem lekicha tama, and that psul only applies to ulekachtem b'yom harishon, and it doesn't apply for the balance of the yom. And that's where we're going to have, you know, we're going to have to really work very hard to figure out why chaser is okay for the balance of the yom. Now, as I indicated at the outset, all this is Tosus. And the reason why I give preference to Tosus here is not because I have anything against Rashi, but simply because I don't understand Rashi. And I'm not in bad company here, because Tosus has no clue as to what's going on in this Rashi. The Gemara says explicitly, it's right there up front, that the reason why Alu of Hayavish is possible is because Hadar be'inan v'lecha. Let's underline those words. Hadar be'inan v'lecha. Am I right? And Rashi comes up with a whole new story. And we're going to have to understand what Rashi's saying, or at least try to understand Rashi. We're going to see why Tosus can't tolerate Rashi in this case. And then, if we figure out what compelled Rashi, then we might get something going. I don't know if this is true, so tell me if is there a book that's called What Bothers Rashi? Yeah, Phil, there is such a book? On Chumash, Rashi Ala Torah. Yeah. So I don't know if anyone wrote a work called What Bothers Rashi on Shas, on the Gemara, but it begs to be written. And in this case, we need to understand what bothers Rashi, because Rashi completely changes the Pshat in this Gemara. And in fact, the Rashi is right up front there on the Mishnah itself, but he consistently repeats himself throughout the Gemara. So you can't tell me that Rashi was, you know, he was a little bit under the influence of something or other when he wrote his Pirush Al Mishnah, because you see that he's constantly, you know, socking it into us about the nature of the Psul of Yavesh. So again, Rabosai, if you're writing notes, the title of our discussion today is Shitas Rashi on the Psul of Yavesh. That's the story for our Shia today. Okay. So the opening Rashi, we say, Rashi says that Lulav is called in biblical terms a Kaf Shel Tamarim. Again, in the Torah uses the plural, but Rashi uses the singular, Kaf Shel Tamarim. And then he says, "V'hadar tani hadasfa rova b'yan pei nafshai." Don't get nervous. Rashi says, "I can anticipate other mishnayos later that'll deal and address the hadas and the arova and all the psulim therein." That's the opening Rashi. So far, Rashi is very innocuous. Then we get to the bomb. Here's where Rashi drops the bomb. Yavesh. Now, I'm going to play a game with you, and I'm going to rewrite the Rashi just to show you what I thought Rashi should have said, and certainly this is what Tosus thought Rashi should have said. He should have said, "Debeinon hadar v'leka," which would be a verbatim copying the Gemara word for word. "Debeinon hadar v'leka," says Rashi, "Debeinon mitzvah." Okay, mitzvah. And so the fact that Rashi used the word mitzvah is a very strange. And Rashi says, "Mehu deris." Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mehu deris. You want to underline that word in Rashi, mehu deris. Now Rashi is going to quote a pasuk, and please note that this pasuk is a whole chumash away from the chumash that we're studying today. We're studying chumash Vayikra, Parshas Emor, and the Torah says, "Ulekachtem lachem biyomar rishon priyetz hadar kapos tmarim," etc., etc. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Chumash Shmos, in Parshas Bishalach, and there the Shir Sayyam, "Ze keli v'anvehu." Okay, now "ze keli v'anvehu" in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos is the source for what's called mitzvah mehu deres, not to be confused with the phrase in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Emor, pre eitz hadar. Let's not confuse the two. Pre eitz hadar is a definition of an esrog. We're going to soon see that all the dalet minim require hadar through a hekesh. And that belongs to the parasha of the Dalet Minim. Nowhere else will you see the word Hadar. Well, in Talis, in Shofar, in Sukkah, in matzah. You'll never see the word hadar in the Torah. The word hadar in the Torah is specifically earmarked for the dalad minim. Again, in Torah Shebichsav for the esrog, in Torah Shebal Peh for all the dalad minim, but not beyond the walls of the dalad minim. That's hadar, and that's what our Gemara says. Be'idun hadar v'leka. Rashi doesn't have it. And don't think for a minute that Rashi had a different text in the Gemara, because Rashi is very well aware of the text of the Gemara, as we'll soon see when we get to Rashi in the Gemara. But nevertheless, Rashi insists that the psul of Yavesh is mitzvah muhderes be'inon. We need a mitzvah muhderes shenemar d'chsiv zekeli v'anvei, which is a mitzvah to beautify the mitzvahs. And Yavesh is not beautiful. And Rashi says that if Yavesh is not beautiful, therefore it's possible. Rabosa, can anybody give me a precedent for this Rashi? Namely, a mitzvah she'ena muhuderes that's lacking in zekeli v'anveyu and hidur mitzvah, and it's possible. Everyone raise their hand. Because you all know that there ain't no such thing. It just doesn't exist. Except for this Rashi over here that we looked at. And this is why Tosfos jumps on Rashi. First of all, textually, Tosfos objects to Rashi. The Gemara says, Be'idun hadar v'leka. Secondly, Tosfos says, I object to Rashi conceptually. How could Rashi tell me that the reason why Lulav HaYavesh is possible is because Be'inon Mehuderes, Zekeli V'anveu, Zekeli V'anveu is a lachatchila requirement. You know, I have two esrogim to choose from. Choose the more beautiful esrog, especially if the father-in-law is paying the bill. No, I'm just kidding. But choose, you know, choose the beautiful esrog. And that's only lechatchila. That's not possible to the event. Now Tosfos says, well, you know, there's this phantom opponent, you know, that's lurking in the shadows. Some anonymous, faceless guy. And he says to Tosfos, prove this to me. How do you know that if you're lacking in Hidur mitzvah, Zekein V'aveihu, you can still fulfill the mitzvah? I want to see it black on white. Intuitively, Tosfos is 100% right. But I want to see it. So Tosfos says, I'll show it to you right here in our perek, Lulav HaGosim. And that's the Shitas HaChachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, called Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Lulav Tzarech Agad. You can only fulfill the bits of Lulav if you do what?
Bind.
If you bind them together. Chacham say no. Rabbi Yehuda is based on Xer Shava to Agudas Ezov in the parsha of Mechatos that we have to sprinkle on a Tomei, and there the Torah requires that we put together the Agudas Ezov and tie it around, and he has Xer Shava. The Chacham never had that Xer Shava. They say you don't need Agad. So I don't know if you've ever seen anyone take four minim that are not bound together. If you saw such a person, you know he's not doing it right. Why? Because the Gemara says that even though the Chachamim hold Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad, that doesn't mean that they don't require Agad. Even the Chachamim require Agad. So we pass it against Rabbi Yehuda. We pass it like the Chachamim, majority rules, that Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad. But yet, we require Agad. Why? So the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk in Shmos, namely, Zekeli Avin. Says the Gemara, what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Rabbi Yehuda requires Agad based on Gzeir Shom. Chachamim require Agad based on the Pasuk Zekei Levi Aveir. My Nafkamina, they both require Agad. Tosa says, Nafkamina b'di'evet. What happens if he went ahead and he took the Dalad Minu without Agad? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Yatsa Yedecho Vaso, because from Yudol's Lulav Tzarech Agad, Agad is critical to Lulav. The Chachamim hold Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad, but just as a general halacha called Zekeli V'Aveyu, and to beautify the three minim, we bind them together. And that Agad is a cube of Zekeli V'Aveyu, but B'di'evet, the Gemara says, if you took one minute after the other, you had four minim, Munachim al Shulchan, and you took one after the other, then according to Chachamim, without Agad, you yotzei the mitzvah. But it's only b'dieved, because you're lacking zekeli v'yamved.
But I mean, it also has to have criteria for the Adem, in other words, it's more than just holding them together.
Right, you have to bind them together. You have to somehow change.
Not even binding them, but I mean, the beauty or the goodness of any of these minim, I mean, we learn that there's books of halacha on what that means. So, but that's right. Not stating that. Sure.
So the Gemara is going to objectify what constitutes v'an vehu, and the Gemara says that that's called the agad. Agad will beautify the mitzvah and fulfill zekeli v'anvehu, but there's no basic critical requirement of agad. The requirement of agad is only generated by a more all-inclusive category called zekeli v'anvehu. And the nafkamina the Gemara spells out, and that is that b'di'eved you would be yotze according to the chachamim shittim without agad. The absence of agad is only the absence of zekeli v'anvehu. Says Tosus, you see clearly that zekeli v'anvehu is only what kind of requirement? L'chadchila. Rashi is now interpreting our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says lulav ha-yavesh is possible. Have no doubts about it. Possible means even b'di'eved. You wasted your time. Start from scratch. Why? Rashi says, "Beino and hider mitzvah mehuderes." Okay, it's very nice. Beino mehuderes. If all things were ideal, it would be a mehuderes. It wouldn't be a yavesh. But don't tell me there for the dilulav is possible. That's Tosis Kash. But Rabosa, I want to show you that above and beyond Tosis' objection to Rashi, Rashi is difficult. What I call mineu be, meaning. Even if I didn't have Tosis and all of Tosis is yelling and screaming here, I still don't understand Rashi. Why? Because take a look at Rashi. You'll have to drop down about I would say 8 lines in Rashi. Do you see a Rashi that starts with Niktav Rosho? Okay, so what happened? He chopped off the head of the lulav. And Rashi says, Pasul, Delo Havi Hadar, not Hidur. He is not invoking the Pasuk of Zekeli V'Yaveh with Halacha of Mitzvah Mehuderes. He is invoking the Halacha pre Eitz Hadar. And not only that, take a look at the next Rashi. Rashi says, Nifrad, what does it say there?
Nifritzu
Olav. And Rashi gives a whole description, not for us now. But the last 3 words of Rashi I wanted to call to your attention. Lav hadarhu. So Rabosa, it's not as if Rashi is unaware of the concept, the requirement of hadar. Rashi invokes this principle, this requirement of hadar, in the case of Nifritzu, in the case of Niktam Rosho. So Rashi is well aware of Sul of hadar, but he's unwilling to apply it and extend it to what? To Yavesh. In Yavesh, he says, the problem is Zekeli V'Yaveh. Drops the ball on Hadar. Even though the Gemara says explicitly that Hadar is possible for 7 days because, I'm sorry, that Yavesh is possible for 7 days, Kaposik V'Tani, because Hadar Be'inun V'Leka. So Rashi, Rashi is very familiar with the concept of Hadar Be'inun, that we require Hadar. Rashi uses that to explain why in the case of Niktam Rosh, in the case of Nifridu Olav, it's possible. And yet, Rashi's unwilling to apply the principle of Hadar to the case of Yavesh. So that's why I say that even if we didn't have Tosis, we would have trouble, a lot of trouble, understanding Rashi, Mineu Be, meaning from one Rashi to the other. In other words, if Rashi is saying that in certain cases the psul of hadar is the disqualifying factor, then Rashi should have applied that consistently, and therefore even Yavesh should be a psul of hadar. For some reason, Rashi holds that Yavesh is not a psul of hadar. Why? Why is Yavesh not a psul of hadar? Again, it's very good in the fact that Yavesh is not listed in the third unit. You know, Rashi has one up on Tosis in that sense. You know, the structure or the literary structure of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi in the Mishnah works out a little bit better according to Rashi. I'm not sure exactly why Rashi is going to combine Yavesh with Gazel. That's a complicated issue, but at least I understand why Yavesh is set apart from Nifritzu and Niktam, because those cases are clearly a psul of Hadar, and Rashi invokes the principle of Hadar, but he doesn't apply that in the case of Yavesh. And sometimes I think that what compelled Rashi to come up with a new category of a psul of Yavesh is because otherwise Yavesh should have fit in to the third category, and Rav Yehuda Anasi refused to do so. But now, Rabosa, we have to understand how Rashi read the Gemara. The Gemara again, let's go over one more time. Kapasik vitani, loshna yantif rishon, loshna yantif sheni, bishlema yavesh, hadar be'inan v'lev. So how does Rashi interpret that Gemara? I mean, Rashi, after all, is telling us that there's no psul of hadar in the case of yavesh. Rashi substitutes a different psul, not from the parasha of Lulav, namely in Emor, but rather from the general mitzvah of Zekeli V'Aveyu in the parasha in Beshalah. So Rashi says, "No, I'm going to take a break for a second because I left my glasses in the base medrash. Till now, somehow I was able to figure out the Rashi, but man."
What's the rest of the word? Zekiel the event of knowing mitzvah.
Not should be other means.
Other means two types of beauty, I guess.
It's kind of something.
It's synonymous, but not identical. Scotch tape will hold up. Yeah.
My glasses broke this morning. My friend.
What's the difference between a hadar and a hiddur? This is the whole basis. Is a great difference between them.
Right.
I don't hear it.
Hadar is a specific requirement in the parasha in
Lulav.
In Emor and Lulav. We don't find it in any other context. Hiddur, on the other hand, is a requirement in all mitzvahs. So, for example, we're going to talk about a shofar mehudar, we're going to talk about matzah mehuderes, we're going to talk about a sukkah mehuderes. That's zekeh v'aveyu. That's a universal halacha that applies to every mitzvah. Beautify the mitzvah. But if you're talking about the structure of the object, that doesn't come under zekeh v'aveyu. That comes under a specific, restricted requirement in the Dalet Vidim, which is called what? Hadar. Pre-Eitz Hadar. And there are many, many different halachas that we're going to derive from the word Hadar. And Rashi insists that requirement of Hadar has no application to what? To Yavesh. So again, you know, I'm not telling you I understand why. I'm just trying to present Rashi's sheet, the facts on the ground. And then maybe we'll be able to figure out Rashi as we go along.
So Yavesh doesn't mean that it's not Hadar. Yavesh is a totally separate...
Correct. Rashi has Yavesh under a different category. Take a look at Rashi, Dira Maskil, Bishlema Yavesh, which I was unable to read without my glasses. So we're two lines above the end of the Amud in Rashi, and Rashi says, Psul Dira Bidra Banan... Pasul, excuse me, b'derabana nami. Okay. Now, Rashi up front is explaining that the chiddush here of kapasik v'tani is that even though the balance of yontif, lulav is only what? Derabanan. Why? Rashi says, because on a doraisa level, we only have a mitzvah doraisa for the balance of Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash. And here we're talking about Zecher LeMikdash. Zecher LeMikdash is only Dirabbanan. And therefore, you might have argued that, you know, if it's only if we downgrade it to a mitzvah Dirabbanan, then we don't have to be worried about these psulim. So the Gemara says, no, Kaposik V'tani. The Mishnah deliberately omitted any sort of restriction, any sort of limitation, and the psul applies all 7 days, and presumably all the psulim mentioned in the Mishnah are going to apply all 7 days, even though all 7 days is only derabbanan. So guzzel is going to give us a real headache. Why should guzzel be psul all 7 days? Well, what about yavesh? So Rashi says yavesh is psul even for the mitzvah derabbanan nami. Why? Kevan de mitzvahu. Rashi says, although the balance of yontif is a mitzvah, I shouldn't say although, that was a bad choice of words. Since, right, the word kevan is since the taking of the lulav for the balance of yontif is obligatory, right, it's a mitzvah, and why, mishum zecha lemigdash, that's the takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now look at the next three words. Bi'inan, how do you vocalize the next word? Hidur mitzvah. Rashi could have simply said bi'inan hadar v'leka. But again, Rashi is very consistent. And I'm going to show you a third Rashi where Rashi is consistent. And he tells you that you need hidur mitzvah. Okay, let me show you the third Rashi. Here we have to go forward a little bit, ahead of ourselves. Tadaf lamed vav amid beis. And here we're looking at Rashi on lamed vav amid beis, approximately, I'm just guessing here, about 15 lines down from the top. And the Rashi starts with the words el larav. Do you see those words? El larav in Rashi? Okay. So Rashi says, the Omar. Okay, we don't have to know all the details here, but what we do have to underline here is the following words in Rashi: Doha mitzvah hidura bi'inan. Again, Rashi says that we require hidur mitzvah. So we have three Rashis now. Let's go back to our Amud, but I just want you to have that information at your fingertips. That three Rashis consistently require hidur mitzvah to the exclusion of yavesh, and in the absence of hidur mitzvah, Rashi says that the lulav is possible. And that's the case of lulav hayavesh. It's possible because it's a mitzvah. Again, albeit what kind of mitzvah? Not d'oraisa, but d'rabbanan. But nevertheless, it's a mitzvah. And if the Rabbanan are requiring us to take a lulav all 7 days, then under the law of mitzvah, we have a requirement that it be what kind of mitzvah? Everybody mehu deres. And here, be'inan hidur mitzvah. And in the case of yavesh, we do not have hidur mitzvah. So Rabosai, let's now divide up our problems into two. Roman numeral number one we'll call the internal problems of Rashi, and Roman numeral number two we'll call the external problems. That's the objection of Tosus. So internally, I'm going to ask two questions. They're two sides of the same coin. Number one, when it comes to Niktam Rosho, where they chopped off the head of the lulav, or Nifritzu Olav, they separated the various olim of the lulav, one from the other, from the shidra. Rashi says the chesaron, the giron here, the absence of hadar. What happened to mitzvah muhuderes? Rashi says nothing about mitzvah muhuderes. And the second question is, again internally in Rashi, when he gets to lulav ayavesh, Rashi doesn't mention anything about hadar, and instead Rashi says we need mitzvah mehuderes. What happened to the psul of hadar? To summarize our two questions, Rashi seems to require two different psulim. One psul, the disqualification, is hadar. The other disqualification is mitzvah muhuderes. Zekelu yaveir. Why does Rashi need two separate reasons? And Rashi says that one reason applies in certain cases, another reason in another case. The reasoning of what? Of Hadar, Be'inon, Veleka applies to Niktam Rosho and Nifritzu Olav. And Rashi drops the ball on Mitzvah Muderes here in these two cases. And the requirement of Mitzvah Muderes applies to exclusion, to disqualification of what? Of Yavesh. And Rashi is unwilling to apply the principle of Hadar to exclude and disqualify a Lulav HaYavesh. Those are what I would call the internal issues in Rashi. Does everybody have that?
No.
Let me go over it one more time. My internal issues in Rashi are the following. Again, I call them two issues, but they're really two sides of the same coin. Why does Rashi need two separate categories of disqualifications? One category he calls Hadar Be'inon, that we read, the Torah says pre-Eitz Hadar, and Rashi applies this requirement and this disqualification, the absence of Hadar, in two cases. What are those two cases, everybody? Niktav Rosho and Nifritzu Ola. In those two cases, Rashi says the disqualification is because of Hadar. And then Rashi has another category of disqualification, which he quotes from a different parasha in the Torah, and that's Zekeh Me'aveinu, Mitzvah Me'uderes. And to what category, to what case, I should say, does Rashi apply the principle of disqualifying the mitzvah because it's not a Me'uderes, it's lacking Zekeh to Yavesh? Why does Rashi need two different psulim? And why does Rashi insist that in these cases, namely Niktam and Nifritzu, I need the psul of Hadar? Where in the case of Yavesh, Rashi says, I don't need the psul of Hadar. Presumably there is no psul of Hadar. But rather the psul is Zekeh Le'Me'aveh. Namely, I need a mitzvah muderes. That's what disqualifies a lulav HaYavesh. Why can't I switch it the other way around? You know, it says by Yaakov Avinu, Sikel Es Yadav. You know, why can't I do a Sikel Es Yadav kind of thing? Why can't I apply the psul of Hadar to the case of Yavesh? Why can't I apply the psul of Mitzvah Muderes to the cases of Niktam Rosho and Nifritzu? Okay, that's Hakofa Al. Then we get to Hakofa Beit. And that's Tosis. Tosis, how can you have the audacity, Rashi, to tell me that the reason why Yavesh is possible is because we need a Mitzvah Muderes? We know that Zekeh Le'Me'aveh is a very nice embellishment of the mitzvah. It's what we call a mitzvah min ha-muvchar, and that's the ideal way of doing the mitzvah. But that would never be the evid pasul of mitzvah. And I'll prove it to you from the case of Agad. The Chachamim say the lulav ain't tzarich Agad. We do the Agad in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zekeh Le'Me'aveh. But by the evid, I was yotzei my mitzvah, even there was no Agad. So you see clearly here in the Perek itself, you know, Tosfos probably could have quoted other sugyas in Shas to prove that the absence of Hidur mitzvah is not likuva. But Tosfos chooses to quote a sugya right here under our nose, the sugya of Agad. And the Gemara says explicitly that according to the Chachamim, in the absence of Agad, you were yotzei the mitzvah, because Zekeh Le'Me'aveh was a nice embellishment of the mitzvah. L'chatchila, that's the way you should go, but it doesn't pass the mitzvah b'diyeved. So that's what I call the external problem, meaning the objection that is raised by Tosfos, that maybe I never would have come up with that objection in Rashi, Minei Ubei, internally. But nevertheless, it's a very difficult objection to Rashi. So, you know, there's a special mitzvah to be besimcha. And when I read this Rashi, I'm not so much besimcha. So I have to work on myself here. I have to do a tikkun amidos here. I have to be besimcha, even though I have no clue what's going on in this Rashi. Now, very often, Tosfos raises objections to Rashi, and you can almost intuitively defend Rashi. And you could say that Tosfos' premises are not necessarily correct. You know, he's working with certain assumptions, and within the framework of certain principles. Rashi never bought into those principles. But in this case, you know, Rashi himself is operating with the psul of Hadar. So why does he throw into this whole challenge here, this monkey wrench of a psul of Mehuderes, and therefore Yavesh is possible because of the psul of Mehuderes? So Rabosai, I have only one clue to this puzzle. I don't know if this clue is going to take me all the way around the bases. Here's my clue. Rashi is searching for a psul that should apply all 7 days. Because the Gemara says when we analyze the Mishnah is kaposik v'tani. The Mishnah doesn't differentiate between the first day and the balance of Yom. So Rashi is trying to figure out what would justify disqualifying the Yovesh for all 7 days. And Rashi says, by implication, that Hadar, as important as it is not going to answer the question why a Lulav HaYovesh is possible all Shiva. Let me try to explain. We have two categories of psul. One category of psul is called hadar. The Torah calls it a pre-ates hadar. It's got to have that extra element of hadar to it. And that psul of hadar, as we've mentioned time and time again, is limited to what? To the Dalet Min. We only find it in the Dalet Min. In no other mitzvah do we find a psul of hadar, requirement of hadar. But Rashi thinks that there's a whole other category of psul. Let me give you what I think would be an extreme example to sort of, as we say in Hebrew, l'saber ta ozi, to give you a sense of what I have in mind. What happens if you were to take 3 minim instead of 4 minim? Would you fulfill your mitzvah of Dalet Min? On what day? First day?
No.
For sure. What about the 7 days? Also not. Why, Dr. Joel?
Because I'm all four.
What do you say?
Yes, I'm all four.
Correct. No, you're telling me that you have to have all four. Right. But how is that different than Hadar? If what's bothering Rashi, and we want to write a book called What Bothers Rashi? So we're suggesting that maybe the clue to answer the question of what Rashi's question was is that Rashi doesn't understand why there should be a psul of Yovesh for all 7 days. Kaposik v'tani, Yovesh is psul for all 7 days. So perhaps Rashi was bothered by the fact that he thinks that the psul of all 7 days is something radically different than the psul of Hadar. Okay, is everybody with me? I'm trying to create a structure here which doesn't exist. So you have to see if we can create such a structure. My structure is the following. That Hadar is a psul of one type, of one quality or category, but there's another more extreme category of a psul. And what would be more extreme? It would be a requirement that perhaps applies to any mitzvah. Again, every mitzvah might permeate, has its own permutation and its own expression. But in a very abstract way, there's something that is required for every mitzvah. Okay? What do we require in every mitzvah? Whether it be shofar, whether it be sukkah, whether it be lulav, whether it be matzah, every single mitzvah requires what? Okay, hidur again, but we're not sure that hidur is gonna be likuva. That's gonna. So I want to get something even more basic, sort of more nitty gritty than even hidur mitzvah. If you follow that idea. Again, eventually maybe we'll be able to subsume hidur mitzvah under this general category. But what does every mitzvah require? Maybe that's going to be a tremendous machlokas whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana. But kavana in what? There's something even more basic than kavana. And what's that?
I think you need some kind of completeness.
A completeness of what? I'm looking for something that defines a mitzvah, right? I listen to the shofar, right?
A minimum unit. It has to have a certain...
What is that unit called? I need a word for it.
The chefta shofar.
No. Not necessarily a chefta shofar mitzvah, because again, in the case of shofar, I have to hear the shofar. So I don't know that the shofar is necessarily a chefta shofar mitzvah, okay? Like, for example, in the case of Hanukkah, I have to see the Ner Hanukkah, okay? The question is, what about a blind person? What's his status vis-a-vis Ner Hanukkah? So what's true for every mitzvah?
Kiyum.
In order to get to the kiyum, you're already a step ahead of me. All you guys are doing brilliant work here, but you're all a step ahead of me.
A
meisah mitzvah. Excellent. John says a meisah mitzvah. What is the, I don't want to get off on a philosophical tangent. But why does, on a philosophical level, why does a mitzvah require a maisa mitzvah? I need the presence of God, right? So in order to achieve a mitzvah of lifnei Hashem, in a sense of in the presence of God, I need a certain action. In Menachos, for example, this is called Hagosha. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Hagosha Samincha. Hagosha means when I approach the Mizbeach or the Beis HaMikdash. That's called approaching, in the case of a mitzvah outside the Beis HaMikdash, it would be approaching Almighty God Himself. Do you follow? Because I'm not going through the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not putting anything on the Mizbeach. So anyone in this room will realize that I'm very influenced by Dutch here, because we finished a part of Kachim, Masechta Zvachim, and it took us about 4 months, am I right? So I'm very much in that frame of reference. But there's an attitude of a mitzvah which is lifnei Hashem. Now, if every mitzvah requires a maisa mitzvah of lifnei Hashem, and I have to ask myself, well, in order to fulfill that mitzvah, what do I do lifnei Hashem? And how do I do it? And every mitzvah is a little bit different. But once again, I think there's one requirement that would be common to all mitzvahs in order to bring the mitzvah lifnei Hashem. What would that be?
Beautify it.
Okay, maybe beautify it, but beautify as part of something, again, even more broader in scope, even more abstract. I call it kavod. In other words, when I come in front of Hashem to do a mitzvah, I have to do it b'derech kavod. Now, b'derech kavod could subdivide into two categories. It might be derech kavod the way the Torah delineates it, and Hashem has to reveal His will to me, so to speak, and tell me all the details of how do I achieve this mitzvah derech kavod. But then there may be another category of derech hakavod, which doesn't even require Hashem to delineate exactly what derech hakavod is, because the opposite of derech hakavod would be what? Are you familiar with the word zilzul? Yeah, zilzul or derech bizayim. What would be a classical mitzvah of kavod in the Ten Commandments? Keep it avayim, right? Imagine if my father would ask me to bring him a lulav, and I brought him a lulav hayavesh. That wouldn't exactly be derech kavod. We'll learn later on that, in certain ceremonies, they used to chop off the head of the lulav. That was very common. Or they used to separate and beautify the lulav by separating its leaves from each other. But the Gemara says that there's a requirement called hadar. Okay, we'll get to that later, but if not for the requirement of hadar, I can even beautify the lulav in many different ways. And from a perspective of kavod, I can really bring this lulav in front of Hashem b'derech kavod. So let's get back to the case where he brings three out of four of the species. Would that be derech kavod? Well, Hashem says, I want four species. And Hashem delineates them, one after the other. So when I come to shake the lulav, lifnei Hashem, right? Did I really do so? Let's call it lekicha, right? We'll use a biblical term. Ulekachtem lachem, you should bring lachem, right? Priyeis hadar, kapos tmarim, arvei nachal, all these four meaning. I take them lifnei Hashem. I bring them in front of Hashem. That's the ma'isa mitzvah. The ma'isa mitzvah is lekicha, but we have to add one qualification. Lekicha of what? For me. Do you see that? Let me see if I can come up with another example.
That's like the lekachtem, which is the tam.
Lekachtem meaning the ma'isa mitzvah. If I have to define the action of the mitzvah that I'm obligated in, the action is ulekachtem.
But you divided that up into two words before, ulekach and tam.
Oh, you mean as far as chaser is concerned?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to confuse you with chaser, because again, chaser is going to be a sugya that we'll have to take up. But right now, I want to focus on the first half of the word lekachtem. Leave out the last two letters of lekachtem, and just focus on lekicha, right? Or in our language, what nusach habracha would substitute for lekicha? Netila, right? Al netila sluv. The Torah Tmima in his Pirush on the Torah has a whole discussion. Why did Chazal, when they established the bracha, substitute the word netila for lekicha? Why not be honest and loyal to the biblical term of a lekicha? But okay, that's for a different discussion. But lekicha netila, there's a maisa lekicha, maisa netila, and that requires dalid. That requires dalid min, correct? Okay. Oh. Let me ask you a different question. Can you take the dalid min on my behalf? No. Right, the Torah says ulekachtem. Maybe. Again, I want to show you that I'm not crazy for asking you the question. I mean, your answer is absolutely correct, but why am I a meshugana to ask you such a question? Don, do me a favor. I'm going, you know, on a trip to who knows where for sukkahs. Do me a favor. Take the dollar minimum on my behalf. What's that called? Shlichus. Shlucho shalom kemoso. So Gemara says no. Ulekachtem shehe lekicha lekol echa v'yech. Everyone has to personally take a lekicha. Would that halacha apply all 7 days? The answer is yes. Why? Because that's not like a psul of hadar. That already touches on a universal definition that applies to all mitzvahs, insofar as they're a mitzvah, to come in front of Hashem with an action. Who's going to do the action? I'm going to do it personally. So now I have two cases where the requirement and the disqualification and the lack thereof is in the Maisa Lekicha. I need a Lekicha of Dalad Minim, all four will, nothing less will do. And I need a Lekicha Shal Kol Echad V'Echad. Clearly, those psulim, if either you took three out of four or you sent someone as your proxy, would apply all 7 days. And why? Because the essence of a mitzvah is the ma'isa mitzvah. In the case of lulav, the ma'isa lekicha ulekach. Lekicha. Lekicha requires four minim. Lekicha requires kol echad v'echad. Chaser? I'm sorry, leave out chaser. I'm sorry. I don't want to get into chaser. You got me filling chaser. But what I meant to say was hadar. Hadar is not relevant to the Maisa Mitzvah. And I'll prove it to you. Because it only applies to what? To the Dalad Minim. If Hadar was a requirement in the Maisa Mitzvah, then it would apply in every single Mitzvah. And the Torah only requires hadar in one mitzvah. And that's Dalim. So how is that radically different than the Maisel Akif? Somebody might say, well, I chopped off the head of the lulav. That's not a Maisel Akif. On a headless lulav? The answer is no. Maisel Akif requires kavod, derech kavod. And a lulav, when you chop off its head, it's still derech kavod. So what is the nature of the psul of hadar? And how is it radically different than the psul of 3 meter metaphor or sending a proxy to do the lakicha? Where is the psul of hadar? John, you started? Let's see if you can finish. It's in the what? Not in the maisel lakicha, but in the cheftza shel mitzvah. And the Torah in every single mitzvah has its own requirements and its own individual, unique requirements in the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. So for example, I might be able to prove to you that nistak, which means a split, in the case of shofar is kosher, is posel, but in lulav might be kosher. Again, we're going to have to see if I can prove that. Meaning every requirement of a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah is unique, individual, relative to that mitzvah. And Rashi wants to say that the psul of Kol Shiva would only make sense if it's a psul in Hilchas Mitzvah, but not in the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. There's no reason, says Rashi, no compelling reason why the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah should be the same on the first day as it is on the next 6 days. Because the next 6 days are only what? The Rabbana. So Rashi is bothered. Rashi needs one concept that would allow me to take the psul and expand it throughout the 7 days. And what is that concept called? Mitzvah. What does the word mitzvah mean? Maisa mitzvah. Every mitzvah, by its very essence, requires a maisa mitzvah. And Rashi wants to know where to classify the psul. So Rashi says the following. If you ask me where to classify the psul of hadar, for example, the case of a headless shofar, of Nifritzu Olav, where the olive were separated from the Shidra, Rashi says that's a psul in the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. And when you get to a Derabbanan level, Rashi says there's no compelling reason why we should extend that psul to a Derabbanan, to a mitzvah Derabbanan, namely which days of Yom Tov? The second, etc.
Which is why a lulav can have an esrog can have a mum on it, or
correct. If an esrog has a mum on it, the Torah says that that's not a chefta shal esrog as far as hadar on the first day. Ulekachtem lachem biyom harishon. Yom harishon requires pre-eitz hadar. The Rabbanan want to create a new mitzvah, which is called what? Which is called kol shiva. Okay, they're not bound by the same chefta. They can come up with different kinds of cheftas that don't have hadar. But one thing, says Rashi, they absolutely are committed to require for all 7 days. What's that? A mitzvah. What does a mitzvah mean? And this is universal. It applies to every single mitzvah. A maisa mitzvah. And if you require a maisa mitzvah to come in front of Hashem, then that maisa mitzvah is going to be defined in one of two ways. Either by the basic nitty-gritty requirements of the mitzvah, or by what we would call kavod mitzvah. That it's got to be, I'm lifting Hashem with an element of kavod. So Rashi says the following. Ask yourself, what would be if he took 3 out of 4 minim on the second day, the third day, the fourth day, etc. of Yom Tov? Would you be able to tell me, well, that's a psul in the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, and that only applies on the first day? The answer is no. The Torah says netilah means 4 minim. If you're absent one of the 4 minim, that's not called ulekachtem. That's not a lekicha. That is already a universal concept of mitzvah. Send a proxy. Can I fulfill the mitzvah of ulekachtem, of the Dalet Minim, by sending a proxy on the second day, the third day, the fourth day? Rashi will say no. Why? Because where's your maisa lekicha? The Torah says there's no shlichus in lekichas lulav lekachtem. It's got to be your lekicha lekol echad v'echad. Comes along Rashi, and he's bothered now by the following question. Yavesh. The Gemara says, Kaposik Vitani, Yavesh Posel, Bain Biyotav Rishon, Bain Kolayamin. So Rashi says, why? And Rashi is forced to derive one conclusion. What is the conclusion? Mathematically. Where is the psul of Yavesh? When I say where, I don't mean physically where, but I mean in categorization, and classification. Where will we classify the psul of Yavesh? And what's Rashi's answer? If it's psul called Shiva, then it's got to be in what? Nobody's following. Oh, wow. I lost you. Again, let me say the following. Rashi creates the following structure. There are two categories of psulim in lulav. One is in the Heftza, that's called Hadar, and the other is in the Maisa Lekicha, which is called a mitzvah, because every mitzvah requires a Maisa. Call it a Maisa Lekicha, call it a Maisa Shmiah and Shofar, call it a Maisa Achila and Matzah. Every mitzvah requires a Maisa. And Rashi holds that any time you touch on the Maisa, in other words, if you pogea, if you undermine the Maisa, Rashi holds, then the mitzvah is out of question. And that's a universal halacha requirement in every mitzvah. Hadar, on the other hand, is a psul in the cheftza. That's only a lulav restriction, a disqualification. And Rashi holds, if it's only a lulav restriction, that can only apply the first day. There's no reason compelling me to extend that the other 7 days. So Rashi says the other 7 days is a mitzvah, but it doesn't require that cheftza. Now Rashi has a problem, because the Gemara assumes, without even blinking, that Yavesh is posel called Shiva. Why? Kol posik v'tani. So Rashi now has two choices, because there are only two categories that we know of psulim in lulav. There's a psul in the cheftza, and then there's a psul in the maisa lekicha. So Rashi's answer was that if the Gemara assumes that lulav hayavesh is posel kol shiva, then what kind of psul must it be? In the maisa mitzvah, in the maisa lekicha. So Rashi says, why? Why should there be a psul of lulav in the maisa lekicha just because it's yavesh? And the Torah nowhere says that yavesh is not a cheftza of a lulav. So what is the psul that the Gemara assumes composing the Tani should have to apply? It's like, what shall I say? If I took three out of four minim, or if I sent you as my proxy to take the valid minim, why is there a psul in the maisa lekicha? The answer is because of the concept of mitzvah. Mitzvah means I come in front of the Ribon Shel. And if I come in front of the Ribon Shel with a hagosh of a maisa mitzvah, what does that require? As we saw in the case of Kibbutz Av Ha'Eved, right? What kind of hagosha do I give to my father when I'm giving him a cup of
bekavot?
It's got to be bekavot. Rashi holds that yavesh is not bekavot. There's no kavod to bringing the Ribono Shalom, so to speak, a lulav hayavesh. It's completely dried out. Who would bring, in all dignity and all honor, a lulav hayavesh to someone? It's yavesh. There's no society in which we run around waving the flag of a lulav hayavesh. So in the absence of a maisa lekicha of derech kavod, Rashi says, this is a psul because of the nature of this mitzvah. And where do we find that the Torah says somewhere that a mitzvah has to be done b'derech kavod? Which word in the Torah? Vanve. So Rashi says we need a mitzvah mehuderes. The concept of mitzvah mehuderes, according to Rashi, is a concept that touches on the maisa mitzvah itself. The maisa mitzvah itself has to be the derech kavod. Zekeli v'anveim. I'm going to bring in front of God a maisa, an action that's the derech kavod. If I do it in a way that's sort of insulting, if you will, it's a zilzul b'kavod, then that's not a maisa mitzvah. And Rashi holds that that's going to be the psul of lulav hayavish, because it's not a mitzvah muderes and it's lacking in zekelu yavi. Counsel on Tosfos, and he asks the following question: what about agad? Rashi says agad has nothing to do with the ma'isa mitzvah. Agad has to do with the chefetz shel mitzvah. The chefetz shel mitzvah should be, let's combine the lulav with two other meaning. It can't be a din in the hagasha in the kabbalah, because I'm going to leave out the esro. The answer is, this is an extension of the din of hadar. It's not a din in zekeinu mi'aveyu. The absence of agad would not in any way undermine the ma'isa mitzvah. It's still a lekicha, albeit one min after the other. And therefore Rashi is not bothered by the question in Tosfos. What about chacham and shita in the case of agad? Okay, Rav Olson, we'll stop here. We'll lean at it tomorrow. We're going to open up the Mishnah Brura. First we'll do a little bit more study on what we did. And then if you can bring in a Mishnah Brura, if not, we have a few copies.
Thank you.
Good to you.